Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back to old school on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school on this Monday. Nice day out today, more than nice. It's obviously a drastic change than last week, Austin.
I like this better.
It was bitter cold last week. You know what I'm saying?
Do you see the turnaround from like negative 17 to 65, like an 82 degree turnaround here in Lincoln in the last few days?
Yeah. I mean, I told you about the time that I drove down from Minnesota. It was like negative 30 and it was like 46 degrees here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
But this is the same city.
Same state. But yeah, I think it was drastically cold last week. And then, you know, look, the snow's pretty much almost gone. So, I mean, and it's going to be even, what, Wednesday, close to 60 or something like that?
It's already hit 60 today.
Yeah. So fire up them grills, baby.
Because
It's going to be cold.
What's the first thing you're throwing on that grill?
Oh, steak.
Nice. Sure.
Steak and, you know, chicken breast and stuff. I don't know if it's ribs takes a while.
And that's more smoker than grill, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be worth it though, John.
Oh, it's always worth it. It's time consuming.
You got all day tomorrow.
You got to put a lot of TLC with those ribs, man. You got to talk to them.
Okay, go home. Stop by the Mercado on your way home.
Yeah.
You got tomorrow.
I already stopped at the Mercado yesterday. I picked up a couple slabs.
Okay, so you're good. Formulate a plan on your drive home.
Always, when I stop in there, I always get something just in case. Just in case, man. It's, you know, I mean, we're in February, towards the end of February, but for this type of weather, you're playing with house money. And one, or I guess 2 days of major snow, or not even major snow, it's a decent enough snow. So we're doing pretty good in Nebraska. We're able to take advantage of nice things, even though sometimes on the sports arenas, we have not.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Austin, there was I don't know if we have audio, but people are up in arms. Not up in arms, but Troy Dannon kind of addressed I don't think it's in concrete what the spring game would look like. He talked about, which we didn't get to talk about, the reasoning behind of opting out of the Tennessee game, both financial and I'll call it situational, based on what will be going on at the stadium.
Do you want spring game audio or Tennessee scheduling?
Let's do Tennessee scheduling because that was on the weekend too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people were upset.
Here is Troy Dannon on what happened with Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's really tied to the stadium renovation project. You know, as months have gone on and we've really gotten our plans for what we want to do, it's become more and more obvious that we were going to be down capacity in 27. There's just no way around it. And so from a financial standpoint, the idea of playing seven games at a 20% reduced capacity in 27 was going to be a real financial killer. And right now, you know, as we try to implement the revenue share model and everything else, you know, eyes and first and foremost are focused on, are we going to be able to continue to fund ourselves? And we looked and said, we need eight games in that year with the stadium renovation. And we approached Tennessee and said, hey, are you willing to push this back again? I know we already did it, but, you know, we did it at your request last time so you could play that game at the racetrack. But could you push it back for us to accommodate this? And they couldn't, which I understand. No harm there. This was our decision and our call. And so if they couldn't push it back and delay it, we just canceled the series. we've been working for the last couple of months on who could fit into those games. We had an FCS opening anyway, and that's where Northern Iowa came from. And that had to be filled. And then adding two MAC schools to replace games in those 2 years, which gives us seven and eight in 27, which essentially the math works out, it gives us 7 full home games or 8 maybe reduced pass capacity games. But it's really a long-term financial play based on the stadium being down, at least in part, 27.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they get paid the big bucks to kind of look at the whole landscape of the football program and what's best for Nebraska. I think the most interesting part was, you know, essentially they asked us to move it the first time we did, and then we asked them and they're like, no. Now there's more to it than just, hey, Austin, need a favor. You know what I mean? They have other obligations and stuff like that. And you can't expect Tennessee to understand our wants with our stadium, right? You would like to see them, hey, all right, we'll push it back a year. Problem solved, right? I'm assuming, right? Mm. That's probably the biggest thing. Like all the financials and all that stuff, I understand it because, you know, people have been talking about the stadium experience. We're even over at PBA, you know, mm-hmm. I think we're going to be selling alcohol, right? Right. So you have to make adjustments for that. Then you got to deal with the, you know, updating the stadium to whatever capacity or the plans are there. You have to do it at some time. This isn't like building a basketball court in the back of your house. It's going to change the, you know, obviously the capacity, you know, according to what he said, and obviously realistically as well. So you have to make sure you take care of that because you're already going to be dealing with, you know, less fans being able to be at the stadium. So unfortunately, you know, obviously Tennessee wasn't a willing, let's say co-parent. And, you know, I know what Danny White came out and got a hype a little bit. I think he's still mad about the whole Scott Frost thing, but I will say this. If he really, really believed in Scott Frost as much as if that's the reason that he's still upset.
Yeah.
Why didn't his brother hire him at the place that he was at? He's at, where's he at now? Where's his brother at? He's an AD somewhere.
Yes, I don't remember.
Look it up here. Right, because he was up for that job.
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, yep. And I guess UCF is a bigger job. But
and his other brother is,
I don't know,
head basketball coach at Georgia.
Dang, that's pretty. That's a good family tree.
Yeah,
yeah, she covered. But I mean, I understand why he's upset because I think it's. Obviously a big game, 2 blue bloods getting after it. But I think also where Troy Dana said playing them, the risk and the reward or juice versus squeeze, especially in the juice and the squeeze, I'm assuming it is thinking about the stadium project as well. So I would like to have seen him play, but also I know business comes before, you know, us playing Tennessee, and ultimately, you know, we have to do whatever we can to try to get in the college football playoffs.
And that was another thing.
And if it's not a guarantee to help us get there, then I don't want to do it. I mean,
Troy Dannon actually spoke on that as well. So let's hear about that from Nebraska's AD.
You look at what Michigan and Ohio State have done in their non-conference scheduling the last 2 years when they went on to win the national championship. You know, their schedules were, there were no non-conference A4s on either of their schedules the year they won the national championship. Now, Indiana didn't this year. You know, that doesn't necessarily give you direction, but I think we're all trying to figure out what the current playoff model, really how the schedule benefits you and how best to schedule to qualify for that playoff. You know, if there's a different model, we'll have to reassess. Is it 14-16? Line me up in the 16 column. But I also see where, you know, there needs to be a reward for winning conference championships and the prospect of getting a couple of buys in there. I think there's so much more to it. Just when do we play, you know, the teams that had the buys this year went 0-4. And you know, is that a matter of who had the buys or is that a matter of sitting out that week wasn't as advantageous as people might have thought it was? So I think there are so many unanswered questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think the only difference between Nebraska, I think the best thing that helps these teams, and we were talking about this about the SEC, is preseason rankings. Mm-hmm. Where, like Michigan, I think Michigan knew with Harbaugh, you're going to get the any team in the Big Ten, especially before you brought in Oregon. There's going to be Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. They're definitely going to start out. Well, Ohio State's going to start out top five or six.
Yeah.
Michigan, before they won the national championship, is up there. Penn State's probably top 10. So when you
is it crazy for me to think Penn State's ranked ahead of Ohio State to start the year?
Next year?
Yeah.
Not with what they got coming back and the losses. Plus, they took their D coordinator.
I'm saying.
With all the dynamics, no. Plus, their quarterback's coming back, which, you know, whatever you think about him or not, he got him pretty dang close to almost a national championship game, and he's coming back. But I think ultimately, I think the best thing you could do is have a pretty good preseason ranking, curtail your non-conference to not be cupcakes, but good enough to be challenging. Of course, you like to play the best competition. I mean, we go to Washington and play them. You know, we played in like kickoff classics, you know, my first year against West Virginia and all that type of stuff, which was, you know, they were ranked. And so, and then you just got to go out there and win games. I think the best thing you can do, obviously you want to make sure the schedule is suited for you to get into the playoffs, right? Now you're in the Big Ten. You're not going to be able to kind of,
you can't fake it.
Yeah, you can't fake it. So you already
got
nine
conference games that you got to prove something.
So everything outside of that is you want to be able to be, you know, choosy and be a la carte. And I think the Tennessee game probably became less of a need when the stadium became more of a priority. I mean, that's where it's at. And then also I think expansion helps it. And potentially by then, at least in 27, there might be more teams, right?
In the playoff? Yeah, because 26 is the last year of the current 12-team
deal. So 27.
Could be talking 14 or 16. The four AQs.
Right, and so if everything stays pat and Nebraska's improving, recruiting and developing and all that, you feel like your chances are pretty good. So, and so you like to hedge your bets on yourself versus on a maybe helping Tennessee as much. So I think it's something for, you know, that was under consideration. I think it would have been interesting to see if Tennessee would have pushed it back if we'd still been playing them. I think it would have been a great game. I think it would have been advantageous for both. I think it would have been like the Colorado-Nebraska game.
And that,
now, it's not a rivalry, but it's a two blue bloods getting after it.
Two blue bloods who have never played a regular season game against each other.
And play each other. I think, you know, if we split the series, you kind of build a little animosity there. You know, fan bases travel well, but ultimately I just think it just didn't work out. And it's just, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
It's a bummer. It's too bad. I do wonder if they threw out the very simple idea of, hey, can we switch where we start the series? You know, can you come to Lincoln in 26 and then go to Knoxville in 26? Go to Tennessee in 27.
Yeah, it would have been great.
But then I think you're looking at imbalanced schedules. He seems like a certain number of home games for the reasons Troy Dannon mentioned.
Right. And with
for fans, it would have been nice for him to suck it up for a couple of years, say, hey, sorry, we really want the series. We think it's beneficial for us in the big picture. We're going to keep it. But instead, they went with the money, which is defensible.
I guess. And then also, once you do that, then the fans become evaluators of your decision, your decision to do that based on how the team plays. You're already going to have some fans, even though they know it's coming, when the reality hits, all right, well, we won't be at capacity. Fans are funny. They'll take it, not all of them, but someone will take it as you reduce the stadium capacity forever.
Yeah.
And not really look to the right or left and understand that there's, you know, some construction going on. So I think all that took into effect, but then also more importantly, ideally, I'm assuming you want to put Nebraska in the best position year in and year out. And some of it is scheduling and opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that ideally took over. So anyways, the Huskers are always in the news and, you know, they'll do their thing. We're going to come back, talk a little bit of Nebraska basketball. We're going to talk about a little bit of a Nebraska connection from the Utah Utes. Let go of the head coach, man. I was kind of surprised, you know, and I wonder if they felt like he was stagnant or not. Right? You won 20 some games last year and
NIT Final Four.
Pull the plug this year? You're Utah?
Skeptical.
Doliak ain't coming back. Andre Smith or whatever was his name. Number 24.
Andre Miller.
He ain't the professor. Back. Yeah.
Oh, miss him.
Was it Van Horn too?
Yeah.
Yeah. They ain't walking through there.
Nope.
Rick Majerus ain't, you know.
Raleigh Wooster ain't walking through that door.
Yeah. So Anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, quick break. Then we'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.